In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we celebrate the feast of Christ the King. At the last Sunday of October, as the world is, nature is drawing to a close, our ecclesiastical year is drawing to a close, all things are drawing our attention to eternity, to heaven, to leaving this world behind, to dying to this world. And when I think of the kingship of Christ, I can't help but reflect that the prayer that he taught us, that we say every day, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're asking for his kingdom to come, this kingdom that exists in heaven. We're asking for it to come to this earth. But then what do I know of the kingdom of heaven? Christ very often gave us parables. The kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like that. But what is this kingdom where Christ, where God sits on the throne? He rules all the angels, all the saints, all those in heaven. He rules. He gives a command and it is done. But then after thinking such an idea, I must realize that God doesn't have to give the command. What is it like in heaven? Does he tell this angel, you do this, and that angel, you do that? He doesn't have to use words. Our Lord only needs to think, and the angels respond. But they don't respond out of a sense of obedience like we think of obedience today. When I consider obedience on this world, I think of a father or mother and their children. And the child must obey. I think of holy obedience that a religious makes, this vow of obedience that we will obey the superior that God has placed over us in all things that are not sinful or against our rule, the conscience. We obey in everything. And I've often spoken to religious. Yes, there's a difference between slavish obedience and filial obedience. There's a difference between obeying the letter of the command and the spirit of the command. If I'm truly to obey my superior, I am anticipating what my superior wants. I don't have to wait for the command, do this. I know this is what my superior wants, and I can begin immediately to do this. If I compare it to parents and the children, the child knows my mother's going to get after me to clean my room. I don't have to wait for her to tell me to do it. See, I don't have to do it unless I'm told. That's what obedience suggests. But when I am truly obedient, I enter into the desire, into the mind, into the heart of my superior. I don't have to wait for it to be verbalized. I'm already uniting my will to the will of the superior. The child, in perfect accord with the will of his parents, doesn't have to be told, but knows. And because he loves, he does that which the parent desires. The truly obedient religious does not have to be told, do this or do that. The truly obedient religious has observed the superior as seeing the superior's wishes and desires and anticipates, I will do this. And I think back to even before I entered the seminary, before I became a religious, being a simple helper. When you're someone's helper, you watch the master. Okay, it's the same thing. He needs this tool at this time. He needs you to do this. He needs you to do that. It's repetition. If your heart's in it, if you're paying attention, you don't have to wait for them to say, hand me this tool. And I, as just a young man, took great pride in having the tool in hand and set out there before they could ask for it. I knew what he needed before he even asked for it, before he opened his mouth. Here it is. And I think this is the spirit of true obedience. I know what the superior wants, and he doesn't have to say a word. I'm going to do what he wants before he even knows he wants me to do it. That is true obedience. And this is what I see when I contemplate heaven. In my imagination, I see God and all the angels and saints, and they are of one will, one desire. God does not have to form a sentence. The very will, the very desire is already felt by all the angels and saints, and they are rushing to fulfill or to do his will. The will of God is one with all the saints and angels. They are of one mind. They are of one heart. They are of one spirit. It is the heart and mind of God. So this is what I see in the kingdom of heaven, this oneness of purpose, this oneness of goal, this unity, single purpose. And now, when I think about this earth, we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What are we asking for? But that we have this conformity of our will with the will of God. The kingdom of God is not interested in gold. It's not interested in castles and armies and power and worldly wealth and riches. All of that means nothing in the kingdom of heaven. The true treasure in the kingdom of heaven are those immortal souls made in the image and likeness of God. This is the treasure of heaven. Gold is just cold metal. Means nothing. Your diamonds, just a rock. The true treasure is your immortal soul. The true treasure is in us becoming one with God. The kingdom of heaven here on earth is represented in these human souls being one with God. When we are confirmed, we learn that we become soldiers of Christ. And we think of this kingdom in, again, worldly terms. I'm a soldier of Christ. I defend the faith. I've studied the faith. I know it. Now I can stand up in apologetics and profess the one true faith. I can build up the kingdom of God. I am his soldier. That is all well and good. But the kingdom of heaven goes beyond this soldier. The kingdom of heaven is when this soldier becomes one with Christ. When we truly live for Christ. When we ask, what is the will of Christ? What does Christ want me to do? And we do it without having to be told, without having to go over in our mind, let's see, God wants me to do this. Do I really want to do that? Maybe I can do this and get away with it. Who do we think we're kidding? God sees. He knows everything. You can't hide anything from him. Forget all of that debate in your mind and just ask, What does God want? That is what I will do. What is God going to ask of me? That is what I must do. And when we reach that point, we have brought the kingdom of heaven into our lives. The kingdom of heaven exists here on this earth with those who are one with the heart, the mind of God. Yes, when that happens, we will see ramifications in the world around us. We will see a change in politics. We will see a change in government. We will see a change in education. We will see changes everywhere. But the changes are not coming from some worldly authority. The change is coming from this conformity of all the people with the will of God. This transformation begins within the heart and souls of the citizens. It would be nice if we could get the president or the king and God could touch and transform his soul, and then through him transform the kingdom, the nation. But it cannot come through force. It cannot come through coercion. It has to come from love. And unless the king, the president, the ruler, the governor, whoever it may be, can inspire us to love, they are commanding through a servile obedience. And it is not true obedience. Yes, they can rule by force, and we obey because they have a big stick. Who can fight City Hall? Who can fight the government? They can win. But there's already something wrong when we're looking to fight. When we think of this resistance, yes, it is sometimes necessary to fight. It's sometimes very necessary to resist an unjust command, an unjust order. That's not the kingdom of the heaven. That's the kingdom of this world. Christ told Pontius Pilate, as we just read in today's gospel, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my followers would have fought that I wouldn't be here in front of you." That's not the kind of kingdom I have. I don't have a kingdom with followers that are going to fight. My kingdom is not a kingdom of this world, of armies, of guns and swords. My kingdom is a kingdom of peace. My kingdom is a kingdom of sacrifice. This is the kingdom that I have come to establish. "You are a king then?" Pilate asked him. He says, "Yes, I am a king. That's why I was born. That's why I have come to this earth, to establish a kingdom. A kingdom of souls, a kingdom of love, a kingdom of peace. This is the kingdom that I have come to establish. This is the kingdom that he has taught us to pray for. Every time we recite the Our Father, we're asking that his kingdom come to this earth, that his kingdom come into our very lives." And how? He's laid it out very clear for us in this simple prayer, that God's will should be done in our lives, here on earth, right now, just as it is in heaven. "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The will of God is accomplished in heaven immediately by all the angels, all the saints. They know the mind of God. They are one with the mind of God. They know the soul of God. They are one with the soul of God. They know the will of God. And they are in complete conformity. They are in complete unison with the will of God. And that, my dear friends, is where we should be. And if we're not there, this is what we should be striving to accomplish. This is what we are praying for. That our wills become one with the will of God. That we desire nothing but what God desires. That we will nothing but what God wills. That we do nothing but what God wants us to do. You say, then we are complete slaves. And I say, yes, if you look at slavery in a positive perspective. But no, if you're thinking about a slave who is forced and coerced to do his master's bidding. A slave looks at the will of his master with hatred, with disdain, with disgust, with frustration. That is not the slavery that the religious practice. That is not what God is asking for. That is not how the kingdom of God is made up. But if I look at slavery in a different sense, whereas those who are subjects, those who are slaves, those who are children, look to God and say, Thy will be done. My joy is to do your will. I don't hate it. I don't detest it. On the contrary, I find my greatest satisfaction, my greatest joy in doing what you want. And knowing what you want and accomplishing it in my own life. It's a pretty tall order. If we'll just look at our own lives, what kind of helpers have we been? What kind of children have we been? What kind of students have we been? What kind of employees have we been? Have we ever truly loved the will of our teacher, our parents, our boss? Have we ever really tried to do our best and conform our will to understand and to do our best so that our parents will be pleased, our employer will be pleased, our teacher will be pleased? And if we find we failed here, how can we truly accomplish the goal of establishing God's kingdom in our life, doing God's will? We haven't yet learned to give up our own. And if you recall, you probably heard a sermon, if you were paying attention, of mine, where I bristle at the idea of so many spiritual books telling us we must crucify our own will, we must destroy our own will, we must kill this will of ours. I find that most distasteful. God has given us a free will. God has created this free will that He's put in each one of us. I can't truly believe that He wants us to destroy and kill this free will. It seems more appropriate. What God wants us to do is not kill or destroy, but to turn, to conform our will with His, to unite our wills to His. Not His will to ours. God isn't going to conform to us, but that our will would be transformed into His, so that we now will what God wills. We desire what God desires. That is his kingdom. And that is how his kingdom is to be brought to this earth. In every single moment of our lives. And as more and more souls conform their wills to the will of God, the kingdom of heaven is built up here on earth. And if enough souls are converted to God and give their wills completely to him, then we will begin to see changes in the world around us. This world will become a better place. And so when I ask you to pray for vocations, I'm not looking just for bodies, but I'm looking for the transformation of souls, for those who want to come and truly do the will of God. Those who are giving themselves completely, here I am, Lord, do with me what you will. I'm ready to renounce the world, my own desires, and seek only your will, to do only your will. Lord, do with me what you will. I'm yours. I'm not going to question you. I'm not going to debate with you. Just say the word, and it will be done. I want what you want. Build up this kingdom in your own soul. Pray that this kingdom will be built up in the souls of your children, your neighbors, your friends, your relatives, in the world around us, that there is this conformity of will with that of God. When this is accomplished, the kingdom of heaven has come to this earth. And as this is built up, the kingdom of heaven is built up in this earth. How big you build your cathedral means nothing. How much gold you have within the tabernacle or the temple, around the altar, the beautiful artwork, no, all this money, all that means nothing. That is not the treasure of the kingdom of heaven. Those are the treasures of this earth. They are good, they are useful, but always remember that the most precious treasure is that immortal soul, that free will that resides in each one of us. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendet super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.